Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast episode for Monday, February 19th. And hey, Andre Drummond, pretty damn good in Los Angeles over the weekend. This is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also at the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. And we got a Facebook page that you should be giving a like to as well at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Today on the episode, it is the All-Star break. No Pistons games until Friday, but we will give you the rundown on All-Star weekend, especially the highlights for Andre Drummond as he gave a good showing for the city of Detroit. And a little bit later on, I'm going to be talking to Sham Mohile, editor of PistonPower.com and co-host of the Two Gods and a Goose podcast. A nice conversation about the site, about Stan Van Gundy's front office managerial prowess so far with the Pistons. Sham's also got some thoughts on All-Star Weekend and about Sham's got a medical background, so had some thoughts on the training staff of the Pistons possibly being open to some criticism, especially this season. We're also going to talk about his recent Twitter spats that he's been having online that have been notable. Got to get Sham to calm down online a little bit, possibly. We know the Pistons are at their best when they are going to work every day, but you're at your best every day with great coffee from Detroit's Best Cafe. Ash Supply Company was voted by Our Detroit Magazine readers as the area's best independent coffee shop in 2017. Ash Supply Company, a Detroit business that's growing in the heart of the city, is the coffee that is driving Detroit's renaissance. It's not just coffee with these guys, it's a lifestyle. My guys, Mike and AJ, built this company from the ground up. They're Wayne State grads. They're the Isaiah and Joe D of coffee, basically. I've known these guys for a long time. I've had their coffee, and I've given it as gifts to serious and satisfied coffee fans. They source their own beans ethically from around the world, and then they roast all their own coffee in-house at their flagship cafe downtown. They have two locations in Detroit that you should visit, and their coffee is available at retailers all over the Metro Detroit area. And lucky for me, they're also at Goddess and the Baker in downtown Chicago as well. But Locked On Pistons is giving you a great offer for coffee to come to you monthly so you can get Detroit's best brew every day at your home or business. Visit ashsupplycompany.com, that's A-S-H-E, supply, C-O.com, and use the promo code LOCKED at checkout for 20% off one of Ash Supply Company's subscription plans. Make your choice between subscriptions. The Roaster's Choice Single Origin, featuring offers from Latin America, East Africa, or the Pacific Islands. The Three Roast Sampler, 3 6-ounce samplers from different regions around the world. Or the Drink Coffee Live Wild subscription, which features a Roaster's Choice 12-ounce bag along with a carefully curated coffee-inspired accessory, either a shirt, coffee-infused candle, or coffee-infused soap. These guys are supporting the podcast. They're Detroit guys, so you should support them. Again, go to ashsupplycompany.com, A-S-H-E, supply, C-O.com. Use promo code LOCKED at checkout and receive 20% off one of Ash Supply Company's subscription plans. Ash Supply Company, drink coffee, live wild. On Sunday night in Los Angeles at the Staples Center, Team LeBron beat Team Stephen Curry 148-145 as the All-Star game switched gears and had those players captain their teams after being elected to the All-Star starting lineups in the vote-getting process. And Andre Drummond was part of Team LeBron. He took in as a fill-in after John Wall went down with an injury. He was originally snubbed from the game, but ended up being an All-Star for the second time in 3 years, second time in his NBA career. The Detroit Pistons center had 14 points on 7 of 7 shooting, 3 rebounds and 1 block in 17 minutes. He wasn't part of the stretch drive as Team LeBron made the comeback and got the victory, but hats off to LeBron and Steph Curry. Luckily, it was a competitive game for the NBA's sake. I think the nudge toward professionalism came from many arenas, including Adam Silver, the commissioner's lengths that he went to make this game better, adding that draft that, although it wasn't televised, I believe I saw Silver said this weekend that they're hoping to make it a television event in the future, like you would imagine they would. And I think the extra LeBron spotlight in the mainstream culture from the Laura Ingraham comments on Fox News had something to do with it, honestly. I think she called in, you know, LeBron as kind of the face of the NBA and maybe athletes in general as being a less than serious person and less than worthy person that needs to be listened to. And I think that it was a good chance to, you know, show their craft. And obviously with all the stuff that's been swirling around LeBron James and Kevin Durant the last few days, I think it was really incumbent on them to kind of make the decision to make this a real type of game. And they did that. I think the players delivered. Hats off to them. LeBron was the MVP of the game, 29 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. But Dre looked really good. And like I said, going into Friday, I was worried about how Dre would look in the skills challenge and also the All-Star game. This isn't really his thing. But when you think about it, he's not going to try to reinvent the wheel out there. He's going to set some pick and rolls, the roll to the basket for alley-oops, get some nice passes from some of the best passers in basketball history. And he did very well at that. Made all 7 of his shots in the lane, including, I believe, 4 or 5 dunks. So just a great performance by Andre Drummond and something that hopefully he can live with for the rest of the year and kind of build on as far as finding his place in this league and hopefully getting his team back to the playoffs and delivering on the promise of him possibly entering that, you know, second tier of centers or whatever in the NBA, or maybe even that if you want to make it a bigger first tier of 5 or so centers that are the best in the NBA, and hopefully he can kind of stay in that group or continue to get into that group year after year. But on All-Star Saturday, he also took part, like I said, in the Taco Bell Skills Challenge, getting knocked out by Lauri Markkanen, the Bulls rookie, in the first round. Drummond did fine despite losing in his first matchup. It's kind of a relay race of sorts. I guess relay race isn't the right terminology, but you get started, you dribble down the court, you throw a pass through a hoop, you make a layup, and then you go make a three-pointer. Drummond, like I said, he did fine. He wasn't able to get his first pass through the hoop. I think it took him 3 chances while Markkanen got his in. By the time Andre got back down the court and put his shot up from 3, Lauri had already made his and was already on to the second round. Drummond did make his, though. He got it up. But in the end of the day, so did Spencer Dinwiddie, the former Pistons draft pick. Won the contest later. He beat Markkanen in the finals and won the contest. And then later on, former Piston draft snubs Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns and Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz won the 3-point shootout and dunk contest respectively. So it was a good night if you're a Pistons fan who likes to stew in those misses of some of those guys and overlooking Dinwiddie and letting him go as well. But we're going to talk a little bit more about those guys with Sham Mohile of Piston Powered a little bit later on. But we're also going to talk about all sorts of topics. Stan Van Gundy, the Pistons training staff, and his social media Twitter feuds that have been going on these last couple weeks as well. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked on Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you want to reach men 18 to 44, primarily in the Detroit area, but also with ties to the Detroit area, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
And now we are joined here on Locked On Pistons by Sham Mohile of PistonPower.com and also the Two Gods and a Goose podcast. Sham, I want to thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Matt.
Yeah, so you are the site expert and one of the, or basically the editor of the Piston Powered website. I believe that's the fan-sided site for the Detroit Pistons. Tell me a little about how you got involved with that website, and also like compared to, you know, Detroit Bad Boys and some of the other, the Palace Pistons and some of the other blogs out there, what do you feel like you guys kind of do well on Piston Power to kind of distinguish yourselves?
So I'm the site expert and editor over at Piston Powered. I took over for Duncan Smith, who left us for The Athletic and B-Ball Breakdown a couple months ago. I got started at Piston Power just by, you know, making snarky comments on Twitter, like I still am, and just decided, hey, you know, I like doing this so much, why not just start writing about it? So I started writing for them at the beginning of last year, and then got this editor gig before the new year, and I love the site. It has a lot of freedom in terms of what, like, the content we can cover, and, you know, Detroit Bad Boys and Palace of Pistons are two rival sites. We do more or less the same stuff. I love all the writers on there. I frequently tap on them for resources. I have them on my podcast. I reference their work. It's more of a collaboration than it is like a rivalry. We all have the same, more or less the same information with a different flavor. So
pretty good community of Piston blogs out there that everyone should check out if they're not already. You mentioned some of the snark on Twitter. You've been getting into some
spats recently. Can you tell us about a couple of those and whether they will continue? Are you going to behave yourself from here on out the rest of the spring?
I'm going to try to. So a couple of weeks ago, I got into a little thing with Chris Castellani. He makes videos about the Detroit Tigers, and I guess he was pushed by his quote unquote fans to make a video about the Pistons, and he ended up just ranting, you know, for three straight videos, and it was clear he didn't watch any of the games. And I don't know how you can really have an informed opinion about anything if you're not familiar with the topic at hand. And so he kind of was just, you know, for, you know, lack of a better term, just speaking out of his behind. So I called him out on it. We went back and forth. It didn't end well for him. He lost a bunch of followers, but it was that was light compared to what happened to Jeff Moss, who decided to challenge me. It was about a week ago on Twitter, and you know, he posted some article about one of the Pride of Detroit Lions bloggers, who that's like the SB Nation equivalent for the Detroit Lions, and posted some silly article about how, like, it was just attacking him and calling him out, and it was completely uncalled for, and so I decided to call him out on it, and he came at me, and, you know, long story short, he ended up going to my Facebook and tried to shame me by revealing to the Twitter world that I was a cheerleader when I was at the University of Miami. I was in school for about a year and a half. And I did that primarily to, you know, pay for books and get the D1 athlete treatment. So it was a nice little gig, but you know, it was just a really weird way to try and like get back at me, and ended up flipping around on him, and he ended up getting, I believe, banished from Twitter. So, and he was like the Goliath of, you know, negative Detroit media. So I'm going to chalk it up as a win for me.
Yeah, Jeff's been around for a long time. He does the Detroit Sports Rag in Detroit, and his thing has always been to not only be super negative about the teams, but go ahead and attack media members. And now he's kind of going after the new media, it seems like, because I feel like he's maybe bored with all of his rippings on of the Free Press and news writers and all that kind of stuff. I've never been a fan of Jeff. I mean, I don't know how you really could look at him in any kinds of respectful terms or anything like that. I've never met the guy, and I don't know him personally or anything like that. And then also Chris is, I never met Chris. He goes to CMU, or went to CMU, I believe, from his Twitter profile. So I'm a CMU guy. So I feel a little bit of, you know, that same school kinship or whatever. He kind of yells and screams on those videos. And like you said, I think just wanted something to yell and scream about. Now it wasn't baseball season, and wanted to be mad about the Griffin, or the Jameer Nelson trade or something like that, which is, I don't think any Piston fan would say it was a big deal or a great deal or anything like that. It was just kind of a deal. And like you said, I think he just kind of tries to placate his following and grow his following by, you know, just these, you know, somewhat maniacal, borderline strange videos where he kind of yells. Is that your read on those guys? I know we don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but is that kind of how you see it?
No, absolutely. And I think both of these guys ran into buzzsaws because the Pistons fan base, especially on Twitter, is very intelligent compared to other fan bases in the, you know, in the Detroit area. They come with you at, you know, with stats for the most part, and they actually come up with some pretty intriguing topics and questions that actually make my job a little bit easier, as, you know, on Piston Powered. And I'm sure you've experienced the same. You know, there are a lot of people who just, you know, they don't think like the way that Chris and Jeff kind of think, which is kind of refreshing in a way. So they kind of like picked the wrong base to kind of upset.
Sure. Now, moving on to kind of the Pistons right now, as we talk, it's before the All-Star game on Sunday evening. We had the All-Star Saturday last night. The Pistons represented by some Drummond in the Skills Challenge, the Taco Bell Skills Challenge, and then some former Pistons or players that had some Pistons ties in one way or another with All-Star Saturday. Spencer Dinwiddie, the former Pistons second-round pick with the Brooklyn Nets now, wins the Skills Challenge. Devin Booker, who Pistons fans like to remember was picked 13th, the year that Stanley Johnson went 8 a few years back. And then Donovan Mitchell, who, of course, was picked right after Luke Kennard this year, who's been starring for Utah this year, winning the dunk contest, Booker the three-point contest. Cham, you have been critical of Stan Van Gundy big time from the Blake Griffin trade on Twitter. And I have a feeling that given those, you know, those victories for those three guys last night, and then the Griffin trade, that where do you kind of assess where Van Gundy is just in terms of his front office background and what he's done so far, and maybe how you see his future?
Well, it's a little bit complicated because there's so many different aspects of the front office work that come into play here. I think the whole drafting, it's not as bad as people make it seem. Because I feel like a lot of people make the hindsight argument, like they look at it from today, from today's perspective. But I think that's not really a fair argument, because you have to look at it from the point in time that the draft was taking place. You know, the only one that, like, personally, I was a Devin Booker guy during that Stanley Johnson draft, and that's the only draft pick that I'm like, I don't know if that was a great deal, but at the time Stanley Johnson filled a need. He was a raw prospect that had a lot of potential, and in fact I think a lot of Detroit fans forget that it really, people weren't even that upset that the Pistons picked Stanley Johnson over Devin Booker. They were upset that they picked Stanley Johnson over Justice Winslow, who, you know, arguably has been having the same, if not worse, career than Stanley Johnson right now. So, that, you know, looking at it from today, it looks bad, but at that time, it's, you know, a little bit more easy to digest. The, you know, same goes for, you know, Henry Ellenson. At the time, that was, you know, everybody was saying that was a steal. Henry Ellenson was supposed to be an early top 10, 12 pick, and we nabbed him at 17 or 18 or something along those lines. So, you know, the drafting, I think, for Stan Van Gundy has been okay. I mean, if I were to give it a letter grade, maybe like a B minus or a C plus around that range. I don't think he's completely whiffed. Where I do think he's whiffed is with in free agency, where, you know, this past summer he capped out the Pistons for a guy that has gotten, you know, numerous, like, 10, like between 10 and 15, you know, did not play coach decision designation. So it's a little bit questionable there, you know, giving John Luer all that money for really nothing. He hasn't made a three since last April, which is kind of tongue in cheek, but it's just an interesting stat to point out. I think on that front, he has a lot of blame to take. With the trades, he's taken advantage of teams that have been in bad situations, you know, Phoenix with the whole Marcus Morris issue took advantage of that. Boston needing to unload some contracts, you know, got Avery Bradley, who then they flipped for Blake Griffin. Tobias Harris was a fleece job. That was probably one, his best trade in my opinion. But you know, he's in the fourth year of a 5-year contract. So I think the Pistons need to kind of take a look in the mirror this summer, and then also during the course of next season, and really figure out if they want to move on from Stan Van Gundy. I don't think he deserves to be fired at this point today, because he has brought the Pistons from what was irrelevant to at least somewhat of a relevant team in the NBA. But I do think there needs to be a discussion to be had maybe next season as to whether they want to extend him maybe until the end of Blake Griffin's contract, or something along those lines. But I don't think it's the right time just yet. But there are some question marks when it comes to Stan Van Gundy's resume.
Yeah, I agree. I pretty much agree on all counts on what you talked about there. So, you know, I got Spencer Dinwiddie. He was a second-round pick for the Pistons, the first pick of the Stan Van Gundy era. They didn't have a first-round pick that year. In some weird way, you got to give him a little bit of credit for finding a diamond in the rough. I know that sounds stupid after you trade him and let him go, but you know, I don't know if his career was going to take off until he was given a chance. And I think with Brooklyn, which, by the way, was two trades away from Detroit, as Chicago gave up on him as well, that, maybe he wasn't going to find his footing, and maybe he had to be given up on a couple times, like a lot of guys throughout the league, that those fringe G League and NBA players that he was for a while. That, and then Devin Booker, like you said, most fans wanted Winslow at that number eight. And when it came out that the Pistons were between Booker and Stanley Johnson, again, you have to kind of give the Pistons a little bit of credit for putting Booker in that same category. And Devin Booker has been great, or been very good for the Phoenix, and he scores a lot, and he's a very good offensive player. But the way that Stanley Johnson has played these past 6 weeks or so, or maybe a month, and if you're looking ahead, and I'm not sitting here saying that Stanley Johnson is better than Devin Booker, or even that Stanley Johnson will be better than Devin Booker a year from now, because obviously Booker's development has gone a lot quicker than Johnson, but it's not Michael Jordan and Sam Bowie, the difference between Devin Booker and Stanley Johnson, especially looking forward, especially given the athleticism and defensive prowess that Johnson's given. And I've been someone who's been critical of Stanley Johnson in his tenure with the Pistons, and it'd be hard not to be last year. It was real bad for his second year last year, and at times offensively this year as well. But people talk about Devin Booker like he's Steph Curry or something like that sometimes. And I think that he's playing on, you know, one of the worst franchises in the NBA right now. And yes, of course, he's taking a lot of shots and scoring quite a bit, but it's not like this guy is, you know, definitely going to play in five All-Star games and taking teams to the playoffs or anything like that. Donovan Mitchell, I think that's a case of the Pistons taking the conservative pick, taking a guy who, with Luke Kennard, who's probably going to be either a fringe starter or a good bench player for the rest of his career, and really kind of a can't-miss guy, whereas Mitchell, you know, again, a lot of teams missed on Devin Mitchell and or Donovan Mitchell. And it's not saying that it's excusable, but nobody expected him to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. Nobody expected his offensive game to be that good, you know, this year. And it's a miss, but it's not like a fireable offense. Like some people talk about some of the Stan Van Gundy drafts. Like you said, I think he's average to maybe slightly above average with and Henry Ellenson was a horrible draft. I mean, there wasn't a lot of prospects right around there. People talk about Malcolm Brogdon in the second round. Well, that's several picks later, and second round picks, you're basically rolling the dice on guys. So I'll agree with you that the free agent problems 2 years ago with that big cap influx, unfortunately, the Pistons had a huge amount of cap room at a time that a lot of crazy salaries were thrown around. And to judge them a little bit, they didn't have the foresight to see that there would be a major correction the following summer, and then as we look ahead to this summer, the following summer again. So I think that the points you made about the drafting being pretty good and maybe average somewhere around there, and then the free agent problems, I think that's a pretty good synopsis. And then I think with the Blake Griffin trade, it's just that he's bought himself another year, like you said, to finish the fifth of the 5-year deal, and then we'll kind of see where it goes from there in terms of looking ahead. I'm kind of with you on most of that stuff about Van Gundy in the front office. Now, we wanted to talk about a little bit more on All-Star Saturday. Drummond knocking down the three-pointer, although after Lauri Markkanen of the Bulls already knocked him out of the skills challenge. I've even seen some people on Twitter talking about maybe Drummond adding that to his game. I don't think we're going to see Drummond pulling up from 25, though, are we?
No, it was in an empty, you know, empty gym, essentially, and just, you know, he has a nice stroke and all, but I think there are other facets of his game that he could, you know, add ahead of the three-point shot. But, yeah, he looked impressive. You know, Pistons fans know that he's a nimble guy, and he's got, like, a lot of skills for a big man that are kind of rare, actually. I think last night was a good opportunity for him to kind of showcase what he has. And I think although he lost to Lauri Markkanen, who went on to lose to Spencer Dinwiddie, I think that people are starting to realize that Andre Drummond is more than just a DeAndre Jordan 2.0. And I actually wrote about this today. And I kind of like made the point that Andre Drummond has a good chance to be the All-Star Game MVP today, if he kind of shocks the world, because not many people watch Detroit Pistons basketball. And if he showcases some of his passing ability and his rim running, and if he rebounds every ball and puts them back in some highlight worthy fashion, then I think that people are going to be very surprised at how much he's grown in 1 year.
But Sham, you've got a little bit of a medical background, and you've kind of specialized some ways about writing about the injury aspect of the Pistons. And with Reggie Jackson, hopefully for Pistons fans coming back sometime in the next couple of weeks, that grade 3 ankle sprain that he had, is it realistic to expect him to get back to even the level he was earlier this year? Or is this kind of going to be more of last year's Reggie Jackson coming back? Or is it just kind of impossible to tell at this point?
I think it's a little bit of both in a way, where you're going to get an improved Reggie Jackson. I think this year, more than years past, he shot the ball better from three, and he's been able to add that nice floater game for a high percentage this year. But I do think we're not going to see the same explosiveness that we saw in the beginning of the year. His lateral quickness is going to be affected with his ankle sprain. And honestly, at this point, if he's, you know, just like at the end of last season, we kind of had the same debate. If he's still not moving 100%, maybe the Pistons consider just shutting him down for the year. Because I think this team, like the Pistons, were created not only for, not so much for this year, but for next year and the year after. And if shutting Reggie Jackson down for the rest of this season ensures that he's going to be healthy and ready to go going into next season, maybe that's a decision the Pistons need to make, being right now on the outside looking in for the playoffs. You just kind of have to see what you're going to get. I don't think he's definitely not going to be the same player that we saw in the first 2 months of the season, but he could be better than what he was when his knees were shot last season.
And along those lines, we talk about the Pistons training staff here. You've been a little bit critical of them on the podcast that you had a couple weeks back, and also some of the Twitter stuff. It seems like there's, and it's a little bit far removed from Arnie Kander, whose techniques in skilled and not only body development and some of the things that he was doing to keep guys on the court for many years for the Pistons championship teams. The Pistons are kind of missing that these days. Do you feel like, how would you kind of assess the training staff? Is this like a problem, or is there not enough evidence from the outside to make a determination about this group at this point?
You know, it's just really peculiar at the way injuries are handled for the Pistons. You know, dating back to, you know, when Reggie Jackson had his knee injuries like last season, there were a lot of question marks as to how he was being rehabbed and whether the Pistons should have shut him down early, like I just said. And I think that kind of falls upon that falls on the shoulders of the training staff. And this season, we've seen a lot of weird injuries, like John Luehr, you know, grade 1 ankle sprain ends up being such a bad injury that he's out for the season. And Stanley Johnson having that hip flexor injury on and off for the first half of the season. Avery Bradley having that groin issue. And there was that one game where Avery Bradley played maybe 35 minutes after coming back from the groin issue. And I think in the post-game interview, he said he was going to see a specialist for his groin. So it just makes you think, is it the communication between the coaching staff and the training staff that's not there? Is it that the training staff allows for the players to kind of dictate how much pain they can tolerate? And if it ends up going wrong, then they have to end up back on the, you know, in the hands of the training staff. It's just strange. And this season, more than others, I think there are a lot of questions as to the techniques and the skills that they are kind of employing to keep their players healthy. And I just get concerned because the Pistons, Blake Griffin is a great player, but he has had a lot of injuries in his career, especially in his knees. And for a guy that more or less relies on his athleticism to make his money and on, you know, the first year of a 5-year contract, makes you wonder if this Pistons training staff can keep him healthy, can keep him, you know, healthy for the majority of the rest of his time as a Detroit Piston. So I just get concerned. I have a little bit of hesitation whenever somebody gets injured. I always like to, I think in my mind, is Reggie Jackson going to be fine in March, or will there be another setback that ends up taking him out for the rest of the season? Will they play him and he'll get hurt again? Then it ruins like next season chances. So it's strange.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Obviously, we don't know everything about the individual injuries. And like you said, maybe sometime there's a communication issue about what is going on between the coaching staff and training staff, or maybe there's a little bit of intentional or unintentional mismessaging getting out to the others and everyone else about that. But something to keep an eye on, obviously. And, you know, it was known around the league about Arnie Kander and how good he was at his job. So obviously when you have a group that I can't even name who the trainer is right now for the Pistons. So obviously there's not the body of work and reputation to lean on there to kind of use as a example of what they're doing right. So sometimes when things appear that they might be going wrong, that the questions arise. And I think that's fair and something to keep an eye on, especially like you said, given that the big ticket item for the team and an important player also in Reggie Jackson are two guys between Blake Griffin and Jackson that have some injury histories and some questionable futures given those injury histories as well. But Sham, and you're always talking about that stuff and writing about that stuff on Twitter. Give Sham a follow at Sham Sham God, which I'm assuming is in a little nod to God, Sham God, the old Providence point guard.
That's right. It's actually funny because I tried Sham God. I tried Sham God with one M and all of it was taken. Then I added Sham in front and now it's mine.
Absolutely. Sham is S-H-A-M and then two M's on the second Sham. So Sham, Sham God there on Twitter, a real good follow for Pistons fans. If you're a Pistons fan, you're not following them. I don't know what you're doing at this point. But tell us about the podcast. You guys just started it recently, Two Gods and a Goose. What can people expect and how can folks find the podcast after they listen to Locked On Pistons and they're looking for
absolutely
another
definitely
podcast
listen to Locked On Pistons first.
Absolutely, right.
But yeah, you can find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You can just search Two Gods and a Goose. And with our podcast, it's kind of like a mixed bag. We covered everything from NFL to current events, NBA in general, as well as just the Pistons topics. You know, on our episode 2, we had a doctor on to talk about a lot of the Pistons injuries and his take on the training staff blunders. And we've had a couple experts in the episode that we have dropping this week. We have Duncan Smith on, and then for the next episode we're going to try and get Rod Beard of the Detroit News. So we're starting to get some big names and have some interesting topics, and we're just trying to keep you entertained and informed.
Yeah, it's a great listen. I listened to the second episode today. Actually, you got Keith down in Florida, right?
Yeah, he's in Miami.
Yeah. Okay. Anything? What do you think? Do you think the Pistons get to the playoffs this year?
If I had to put money on it, I would probably say no. I would say they're probably going to end up as a nine seed this year. There are some other teams around that same 7 to 10 range that have done a little bit more than the Pistons have. Like I think the Sixers are in that same range. The Miami Heat could fall from, I think they're at 6 or 7 right now. So I just personally see them on the outside looking in come season's end, but I think they're in really good shape next season to kind of make a difference and, you know, take this season for what it is and learn how to play with Blake Griffin and learn how he's going to, you know, complement the shooters around him and learn minutes. And then next year go in and know the plan and really look to make a run next season.
Yeah, tough schedule ahead for the Pistons. A lot of road games right after the break too. Some tough opponents coming up. Miami, just a superior coaching staff, and then a team that's used to having good second halves like last year. That's the problem with getting into the playoffs is you got to knock someone out. And I was always looking at Indiana beginning of the year, but the way that they've played, and they're a good 4.5 games clear of the Pistons right now in the fifth seed. So, and you got to figure Giannis, and if Philadelphia can stay healthy, it's going to be really tough to find a team to knock out right at this point, especially that Washington looks like they've kind of weathered the being without John Wall so far in terms of staying up in the middle of that playoff race. So it's going to be tough, but Stan Van Gundy, if he can get that offense going with Griffin and Drummond, I think the chances are there. And obviously it could come down to here in Chicago on the final game of the season, actually, if they get in or don't get in. But it should be an interesting ride, and hopefully they make it competitive so everyone keeps listening to the podcast and reading Piston Power and all that kind of other stuff too. But Sham, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us. Any last words for Pistons fans as they look ahead to the second half or after the post All-Star break schedule?
just stay positive. Regardless of what happens, stay positive. You know, we still are one of the 30 cities in the U.S. that have a basketball team that's competitive and not consistently tanking. So just be positive and enjoy the way the Pistons are playing now, but really, really look forward to next season.
Big thanks to Sham Mohile of PistonPower.com for joining us. Be sure to check out Ash Supply Company in downtown Detroit at one of their two locations, or visit the website ashesupplyco.com to order your monthly subscription of Detroit's best coffee. They're supporting this podcast, so it's our turn to support them. Use promo code LOCKED, LOCKED, at checkout when ordering a subscription online, and you will get 20% off your purchase. Ash Supply Company, drink coffee, live wild. Thanks to those guys for jumping on board once again. But we're going to have more All-Star Break Pistons coverage the rest of this week. The team will be returning home Friday for a game against the Boston Celtics, and we will have your lead up to that all throughout the week. And also, check us out on the Locked On NBA Network Twitter handle at Locked On NBA Net, and give us a rating on iTunes, a subscription on there as well, and give us a like on our new Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Thanks for all your support, everyone, and for listening today as well, and we will talk to you all again very soon.